1946,
yeah,
when the Second World War ended, I decided to work for peace instead of for long-range missiles.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to UNESCO here in Paris.
Ah, I see.
1947,
yeah.
I came to UNESCO.
Yeah.
And I was there for about 6 years.
Oh.
But I've all my life been interested in the visual arts.
Oh, sure.
And I illustrated technical books when I was a student and, and all these kind of things. So I've always been interested in the possible relationships between visual art and
sure.
technology, mm-hmm. science and technology. So in 1954,
yes,
I left the world of science and technology completely
uh-huh.
and went into visual art.
More visual art, yeah. Mm.
And I'll show you what I have done. And I've always been interested in somehow, number one, making use of the technology, modern technology, in the visual art. And number two, to introduce scientific concepts, new visual material from
mm-hmm.
science and technology
mm-hmm.
into
mm-hmm.
Visual fine art.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've been doing for, that I did very heavily for many years.
Yeah.
But when the Sputnik went up, my old friends in the astronautical world said that I couldn't work as an artist all the time, that I had to come back and help with international cooperation in space.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1959, 1960, I went back into the astronautical world
yeah.
and helped to set up something called the International Academy of Astronautics.
Ah.
So I became president of that 3 years later.
You became the president.
I was a co-founder. Co-founder of the academy, a founding committee, and then when Carmen was the first president, when he died, I took over. I continued to work with art. Then, in about 19, during the whole time I was working in art, I noticed that very few artists were interested in,
mm-hmm.
in modern science
mm-hmm.
and technology. Right. And then I also noticed that, number one, artists didn't have a journal of their own,
no.
a professional journal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after all, everyone practically in a profession has a journal. Lawyers, doctors, journalists,
yes.
Engineers,
yes.
architects.
Yes.
But the visual artists
yeah.
had no professional journal.
Right.
And I even read some of that. I was told that, you know, artists paint or sculpt and somebody else writes about it. But it seemed to me that that didn't make much sense anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's quite obvious that you need all kinds of things about art, but that the people that make art, if they don't know what they're doing, who does know? Now, you make interpretations and all these things. And especially if you're going to start in making use of modern advanced science and technology, then artists have to start helping each other.
Sure, sure. Mm.
So about 1964, the first thing I thought of starting was an international society of artist scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And I started collecting a list of these kind of peculiar hybrids.
Uh-huh.
But I decided, number one, there weren't enough of them. And I also thought that, from what I noticed, that, you know, many scientists or doctors,
yeah.
if they take up art as an escape,
uh-huh.
you know what I mean? An escape from their work, say a medical doctor.
Yeah.
He takes up painting. And he ends up painting flowers and nudes.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to paint his experiences in medicine.
Ah, no.
Because for him, art is an escape.
Ah, that's just an escape, yes.
Just an escape.
Yeah.
And what I was interested in were people who work in physics or chemistry or physiology or
mm-hmm.
astronautics or what have you, who introduce into their artwork their visual ideas, visual experiences,
yes.
and the ideas of their work.
Mm-hmm.
And I found many of these people were not doing that.
No.
So I said, it was premature to try to make a journal
mm-hmm.
for these kind of people. There weren't enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, and since there was no professional journal for any kind of visual artist,
mm-hmm.
the thing was to make a journal that was open to any artist.
Mm-hmm.
And there the artists would write about their work themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They'd get help. And we would be biased somewhat in the direction of relationships between art, science, and technology. But if you look in this issue I just gave you, the first article
mm-hmm.
is about the work of an Indian artist, an artist from India,
mm-hmm.
which he wrote with the help of an art writer. And he's not interested in science and technology
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite interesting work.
Yeah.
And the other thing, you see, I wanted an international journal to try to bring about better international cooperation.
Sure, yes.
For peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it all fitted together. And so by 1964, I started really to try to get these ideas together.
Mm.
And then I found a publisher in Robert Maxwell at Ferguson mm-hmm. Press. And I slowly built up the editorial groups.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I knew about some of these people, that mm-hmm. they were interested in some mm-hmm. of these subjects. And in 1968, finally the first number came out.
Oh, I see. Mm.
And so now we put out one book, this kinetic art book.
Yes.
We have a second book coming out now about uh-huh. Pergamon. It's called uh-huh. Visual Art, Mathematics, and Computers.
Oh, interesting. When it will...
Should be out this year.
Uh-huh. Visual art, mathematics
and computers.
Oh.
And that will be a selection of articles
yes.
from Leonardo.
From Leonardo, yes. Oh, interesting. well, you said that you used to be, you have been working artworks by yourself through these years.
Mm-hmm.
But what sort of things you have done?
Well, I'll show you.
Yes.
I'll show you. I started out first, you know, with more or less traditional media.
Yes. Sure.
But I didn't find satisfaction. Those are mostly by friends.
Uh-huh.
But I slowly started breaking away
yes.
From painting. And
yes.
I started first working with structures,
mm-hmm.
but with wire mesh.
Yes,
and
yes.
These
oh,
kind
sure.
Of things,
I see. Yes, yes.
And then... Yes. I also was working with, you know what moire effect is?
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
I was doing some work with moire.
I see.
And then one day I just happened to put a light in that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And this led me then to start working with electric light.
Yes, sure.
And I made quite a lot of pictures without motion.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I started working with electricity, of course, motion was a possibility.
Yes.
And watching lights.
Uh-huh, yes.
And this is a picture here from 1954,
mm-hmm.
I'll show it to you in sequence, more or less.
Yes.
Now it has to warm up a bit.
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
Oh, interesting. It's a time sequence. Has a
it's pro- random.
Oh, random. Uh-huh.
It's random. It has 11 lights of shapes.
Ah, I see.
And they're with some little interrupters in the circuits.
Uh-huh.
So that they're not accurate.
No.
So it's a random appearance of these forms.
Uh-huh.
And there are 11 shapes.
Yes.
So you get 11,
yes.
You get 2 to the 11th power of possible
yes.
combinations.
Yes, combination, yes.
So it's 2,000 and something possible.
Right.
And you never know
yes.
which is going to come next.
I see.
But then I worked for a while
yes.
with this technique.
Yes.
But then I started searching for continuous motion.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I developed what I call this my Lumidyne system.
Mm-hmm.
And
this one?
This
oh. Oh, I see. Oh, Lumina, yeah. So the... I see, very beautiful.
Now this is sort of a theosis of cosmos.
Yes.
Mahadi was evolution of the planets.
Yes.
Huh?
Now it is the contemporary is the theme, a subject now.
Of course,
no.
I started doing them 25 years ago.
It's a 25 years ago?
No, this one, no. This is more recent. This is more recent. But I mean, one of my very early ones was called Polaris.
Yes. Polaris, yeah.
You know the stars?
Yes.
The arrangement of the stars, and that's in the Smithsonian now.
Ah, sure.
And I called it the Polaris before they gave that name to this missile.
Ah, yeah. Interesting. Well, when did you make this?
I think I finished this one about a couple of years ago.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's some feeling of the sun and some...
well, I had in mind...
galaxy or something.
I had in mind a pulsar.
Pulsar?
You know, you see the pulsing?
Pulsing, yeah. Yeah.
Going in and out?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Sort of symbolic pulsar.
Yes, yes, yes.
And these are disk nebula.
Uh-huh, yes, nebula, yeah.
But
yeah.
You can think of the flying saucers.
Right. Yes, it looks like... Oh, very interesting. Uh-huh.
And then I made some figurative ones too.
Yes.
But I don't draw a line between figurative and non-figurative, and mm-hmm. there's different subjects to me.
So
here is one that is of a dancing figure.
Mm. Oh, I see. Uh-huh. The image itself are changing, or some part are changing, some part.
Well, I tell you, this technique.
Yeah.
You have essentially a fixed composition.
Uh-huh.
With motion within the composition. I'll show you some different kinds later. You see, the kind that Dick Land works with, there you have a changing composition all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Here you have a, there too. The composition
yes.
is essentially fixed.
Yes.
And motion within the composition.
Ah. Oh. That's very interesting. Afterwards, may I take the picture again?
Oh, sure.
Not now, but after.
Yes.
Sure. Yes.
Now this is the same technique as
uh-huh.
this,
yes.
except this one has a screen, a translucent
yes.
plexiglass
yes.
plate.
Yes.
This one has no translucent plate. So you get quite a different kind of feeling of a picture.
Yeah.
Now there's some moiré.
Moiré, yes, yes.
Now there's, you know what op art is? They make use of moiré effects in op art.
Op art. Yes.
And this is what I call kinetic op art.
Uh-huh, huh? Kinetic op art, yes, sure, yeah. Sometimes kinetic art includes the op art, isn't it?
Just a mistake.
Mistake. Kinetic is that just meaning the
movie. Kinetic has to have real motion.
Motion, right.
Whereas op art can be like Vasarely, he has just colors.
Yes,
but,
yes.
But you have, and some of them you have to move.
Right.
But in these pictures, you're static.
Yes, yes.
And the picture moves.
Right.
So it's a different world.
Uh-huh, right.
I think it's a different world psychologically and visually in every which way. Yes. Well, they are also two figures.
Yes.
And you know, in the 1960s, the hippies,
uh-huh.
the flower boys and the flower girls, they used to call them. So it's like two flower figures, you see.
Oh, I didn't hear such a thing.
In America,
hippies.
The flower children, they used sometimes were called. You know, they used to wear a flower or carry flowers.
Ah, yes, yes,
you know,
yes.
The hippies. The dissidents of the 1960s in America.
Yes.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
Where that comes from?
Yeah, it comes from the apparel.
Huh?
Apparel.
Yeah. the trajectory of the Apollo.
Yeah, trajectory of apparel. Yeah.
You're one of the very few people that recognize
it. Sure.
most people think it's something biological or a musical instrument.
Yeah.
But if you know anything about astronautics, it's quite obvious. I say I only didn't bring them back.
Well, from here?
I only took them to the moon, you see.
Oh, yes.
I didn't put the trajectory.
No. yeah. No. So, still...
they're still going around the moon. Yeah.
So you have done so many works during this 10 years or 25 years. Yes.
Of course, I mean many of them are.
Yeah.
They're scattered all over the world now.
Ah, I see.
I tell you, the cloud chamber.
Oh yes, cloud chamber.
Cosmic ray hits an atom.
Yes.
It's not.
Yeah.
Physically exact, uh-huh. because in art you don't have to be physically correct,
sure.
do you?
Yeah.
But the idea is that.
Yes. Oh, very interesting.
Now I'll show you another kind. And it's the same as the clock, essentially the same technique.
Oh, which is clock too?
Well, I have no hour hand.
Ah.
I have only a minute hand.
Yes. But, I say only minute. That's
fixed.
Oh, that's fixed.
That's fixed. So I have only what corresponds to the minute hand.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you know, working with polarized light, yes. You don't notice the color changes sometimes very easily.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if there's something moving, you see that, and then you notice the color changes.
Right, right.
So that's, I say, the Earth and the Moon and an artificial satellite.
Right.
This is another. Now, this is the technique that's a Lumia,
mm-hmm.
based on the Lumia.
Yes.
And it's the kind of thing that Dick Land.
Mm-hmm.
He recognized what that is.
Uh-huh.
An aquarium. Huh?
Aquarium, yeah.
A kinetic aquarium.
Kinetic aquarium, yeah.
And in principle, you'll never see the same combination of fish in the same colors.
No, it's a.
The fish will come back to the same arrangement of fish,
yeah.
about every 20 minutes,
uh-huh.
but not in the same colors.
No.
Because there's a color wheel,
mm-hmm.
driven by friction and slips.
I see. So.
And so it never catches up with the fish.
Right. But you say that 20 minutes, is it one circulation of the shape?
Not of one shape, but the combination of shapes.
Combination,
some fish you will see in a minute.
I see.
But not with the same fish.
Uh-huh. Hmm? I understand, yeah.
Have you seen the inside of one of Land's boxes?
Yes, yes, yeah. I guess so. Yes, yes. He showed me, some metal foil.
Yeah, well, this is a variation on that.
Mm-hmm.
This Lumidyne is my invention, but this is mm-hmm. a modification of
something. I see, yes, yes.
See, there's a color wheel and a mm-hmm. light.
Yes.
And these turn.
Mm-hmm.
And these fish mirrors.
Yes.
And project the image
uh-huh.
onto the screen.
This is also on the same.
Same thing, except that has only three of these.
I see.
Has four.
Yes, 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 yes.
Very good. Well, that gives you an idea.
Okay. Yes. Yes. I think now it's becoming the more cosmic age. Mm-hmm. The time of this age. Is the people's consciousness is more going to the feeling of the cosmic.
I think so.
Yes, yes.
I think it's slow.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt people are...
Yeah.
I think very few people now think the Earth is flat. You know, there used to be quite a few.
Very few, yeah.
Now it's pretty difficult for anyone to believe
no.
the Earth is flat.
So anyway, you started 1968.
68 was the first issue was published.
Yes, yes. And how you managed to ask these people to be advisory board?
Well, I say I had two conditions.
Uh-huh.
Number one, that there should be artists that have done some fairly recognized work.
Uh huh.
And two, that they had if possible, some interest in relationships between art, science, and technology. And also, some were suggested to me by others, so gradually I built up the group.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I wanted to have an international
distribution. Yeah.
So, it took a bit of time to line that up.
Yeah, sure.
Quite a number have died since the beginning.
Yeah, I guess
like
so.
Like Bronowski.
Uh-huh.
Waddington.
Oh, Waddington. Oh, Waddington died? Did?
Yeah, Waddington died last year.
Oh, I see.
And so, it was, I don't know how many have died since we started. Mainly among the honorary,
because
they tend to be older people.
Yeah. But you have some the active members of the editorial board still now, or who are you?
Most of the people that help me somehow.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I need advice, they help me to get manuscripts.
Who?
To get manuscripts.
Uh-huh. Yes.
To tell me about people. 99% of the work is done here.
Ah, so you yourself?
Well, I have an assistant editor, Dr.
Uh-huh.
Agassi. George A. Agustin. And so between the two of us and mm-hmm. some secretarial help, we do it.
Yeah.
I have an office, if you want, I can show you the office. it's all within the establishment.
Yeah. So how often you published at the beginning?
Always a quarterly.
Always quarterly.
Always.
I see. So it means
every 3 months.
40 issues you have published already.
We published 40 issues. 40.
Oh, I see. Hmm. Yes, yes. Without any, how to say, stopping?
Hmm?
Without stopping?
No break.
No break.
Not one break. Uh-huh. And making most of our deadlines.
Ah.
Which is not easy for an art journal.
Ah.
No, we've done pretty well in that respect. But, I mean, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It takes most of my time.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's really a lot of work. And we have very stringent guidelines.
Stringent?
Editorial
uh-huh.
guidelines.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you a copy. You'll yeah. find them interesting. I don't think there's any other art magazine that has these kind of guidelines.
Uh-huh.
And it gives, of course, people a lot of difficulty. Because, you see, we say, Leonardo is dedicated to the visual arts. But what we have in the journal is analytical and descriptive texts.
Mm-hmm.
Rational, logical discussions
yes, sure.
as possible.
Yes.
Well, many authors send me manuscripts. They consider their writing an artwork.
Mm-hmm.
So I return it and I say, well, it's not. That's for a literary journal.
Mm.
Leonardo is a technical journal, analytical, descriptive.
Yeah.
The arts and what the artist is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also have many articles of a general character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
on
sure.
On psychology of perception,
yes,
on aesthetics.
So. Yes.
Physics.
Yes.
Chemistry. All kinds of subjects.
Yes.
So that artists can have some information.
Yes.
Of what's happening in
yeah.
different domains.
So the most articles were made engineer and scientist?
No.
No. The artist himself can make such analytical.
Well, we
articles.
Help.
Yeah.
We help. Most of the manuscripts have to be edited and rewritten.
Uh-huh.
But they go back to the author. We
yeah.
never publish anything without
uh-huh.
the author's approval.
Yeah.
They can have also someone to help. I'd like to get some articles from Japanese artists.
Uh-huh.
But they do not know English.
Uh-huh.
So if you know of some good artists
mm.
that you and the artist could
yeah.
write an article for
right,
Leonardo,
right.
I'd be delighted.
Ah, I guess, yes, yes, I can.
And we'll help.
Yes.
I mean, I'll give you our guidelines, and on the back of
yes.
the journal is information for
yes.
contributors.
I know many artists who are interested in such art technology and.
It doesn't have to be technology.
Yeah.
You see, for example.
Yes.
But
no.
it would be more
yes,
interesting
yes.
for you, perhaps, and me too, maybe. But this article here,
yeah.
you see, is by an Indian named Hebbar
yes,
with
yes.
Clerk.
Yeah.
And Clerk is a art writer.
Yeah,
you see?
I see.
And he helped him
ah,
to prepare the
yeah.
text.
Very interesting. It's some historical comment or something.
It's autobiographical.
Yeah, well, right? I see. Yeah.
And the artist himself says, now this is how I, 10 years ago,
ah.
I started doing this and thought about this.
Yeah. yeah.
And he speaks.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know,
I think this is, yes, good, even if he doesn't talk any technological aspect.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's the creative, so-called
right.
creativity.
Yes, yes.
You see, how do you get ideas
yes,
for
sure.
these things?
It
and
is,
also,
yeah, excuse me, it mm. inspires other people.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's and this
good.
Is very helpful, I think, going to be very great use to students
uh-huh.
and teachers.
Oh, I
see. I mean, to see how an artist works.
Yes.
And we realize that these articles can be regarded in some way as basic raw material.
Mm-hmm.
And other people then that are interested in an artist's work can make use of this and
yes.
do whatever else
sure,
they want to
sure.
do.
Mm.
But this is basic information.
Yes, sure.
And since the artist's name is on the article, he has to defend himself.
Mm-hmm.
So if he says something that's foolish, he's careful, you see.
Yeah.
And we don't allow him to say it's great and
yeah.
all these kinds of things that you tend to see in art.
How you can collect these materials? You ask the artist and directory or?
The editorial group members help.
Yeah. I see.
But also, if we see in an art magazine
mm-hmm.
something that looks interesting.
Yes, yes.
We send a form letter saying, and information how to prepare
yeah.
a manuscript, you'd be welcome to send a manuscript
uh-huh.
for possible publication.
Yes.
And it's taken time
sure.
To develop the idea.
Yeah.
But at the moment, we've got quite a good supply of manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say about perhaps 20%,
yeah.
10 to 20%, don't survive.
Uh-huh.
Either because the artist doesn't want to work hard enough on it,
uh-huh.
or it's just not interesting. I mean, or it's, you know, doesn't seem we can get anything out of it.
I'm sorry, I couldn't follow exactly. The 10 to 20% of artists that don't survive, what do you mean?
They're manuscripts.
Oh,
manuscripts. We get a manuscript.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And
but among these manuscripts,
I would say about one in 10 or 20 doesn't get published.
Ah, yes.
Because we don't publish it as received, you see.
I see.
Because most of them don't have experience in this kind of writing,
right.
like we have in science and technology. And so then we try to help them.
I see.
And sometimes they don't want to work on it.
No.
So we say, okay, Tumpy, too bad. Well, try another journal.
Yeah, I understand.
But I would say 90% of the manuscripts that we receive finally are published.
Oh, sure.
After and we've published more than 300 artists' articles
already
from 30 some countries.